Up Early the podcast. Pastor Wolfmuller here, who was not up early today. Boy, last week got to me. I had to sleep in this morning. Sorry, guys. So, coming to you a little bit later, but still answering a question a day. How about that? So there you go. And tomorrow I got to get after it, because, man, I noticed I was behind all day, still behind. So hope you enjoy the podcast of a devotional thought on angels in the Passion of Jesus and a question about what Luther's works are best to start for the new Luther scholar. Here's the podcast. Here's a devotional thought, something I noticed while looking at the lessons for Wednesday. We are for Lent doing the reading of the Passion from all four Gospels, all combined. And so you don't know exactly what verse or where something's coming from. Although, interestingly enough, you can tell when it switches from like Matthew to John. He has a real distinctive voice. But anyhow, this week is the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus praying, his three times praying while the apostles are sleeping. Jesus says, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" I'd love to do a word study on watching. Paul quotes it, Luther quotes it, this idea of staying up to pray. That's part of my Lenten thinking, so maybe that'll calm down the road a little bit. But the angels come up twice, at least, in this passage. So Jesus prays. This is the first time he prays. In fact, the first time he prays, it gives us three little incidences of it. He prays, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And then it says an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And then Jesus prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus is teaching us to pray, "Thy will be done." But not long after, when Jesus had finished these three rounds of prayer, he goes and wakes up the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then Judas comes and betrays him with a kiss. And Peter, when he sees the soldiers coming to grab Jesus, cuts off Malchus's ear. But Jesus says no more of that. He touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?" So the angels appear first when Jesus is praying to strengthen him in his prayers so that he could continue in prayer and also take up this cup which the Lord has given. Peter goes to bear the sword, and Jesus says, "Nope, nope, look, if I needed help, I would call the angels." So the angels come to help Jesus along his way. This has to do with Psalm 91, the temptation of Jesus. We talked about it a few weeks ago. The angels are helping him to serve as the Messiah, to be the Savior, to suffer patiently and endure all of these things. If he wanted, they could come to rescue him from all this trouble, but that's not what he wants, because that's not the cup that the Lord has appointed. I always think it's curious that the angels are right at the beginning and the end of the Gospels. At the birth of Jesus, the angels are announcing things, and they're there singing to the shepherds, and then at the end, they're there in the tomb, and when Jesus ascends into heaven, the angels are there, but in the middle, the angels sort of step back into the back seat. It's here at the Passion that the angels are coming to play a bigger role, but their role there is to support Jesus in his suffering and his death and affliction. Oh, how the angels must have marveled that the Lord Jesus is doing such things. So it's good for us to remember that Jesus could have called the angels down, but he didn't, to rescue him from the cross. He called the angels to help him endure the cross, despising the shame, all for us. God be praised. Hey, here's a question from Don, who writes a nice note. Recent former Roman Catholic, was attending RCIA classes, appreciates the video on Luther and tradition, etc. He says, "My mother and I will be attending an LCMS church this Sunday. Hopefully begin catechism classes soon." That's great. God be praised, Don, for that. Here's a question. "I was wondering if you could please recommend a book, anthology, etc., on the writings of Luther. Again, thank you very much for your informative and personal videos. Personable. Thank you, Don, for watching and for writing. This question comes up a lot. In fact, we had this question on the Worldwide Bible Class a while back. If you want, the Worldwide Bible Class is experimenting with a few different things. Right now, we're doing The Life of Jacob with Martin Luther. So I'm reading Luther's commentary on Genesis and commenting on it. I mean, skipping a few pages here and there, but trying to read Luther with you guys to show you how I read Luther. That's a lot of fun. So kind of guided Luther. But they were asking about the same question. What are the most important works of Luther to read? And I say, I think there's a couple layers. Number one is it's good to start with the official writings of Luther that have been collected in the Book of Concord. So that would be the Small Catechism, the Large Catechism, and the Small Called Articles. There's 10 documents in the Book of Concord, which all 10 are really wonderful. The first couple, well, there's three creeds, and then the Augsburg Confession and the Apology of the Same by Philip Melanchthon. Melanchthon also wrote on the power and primacy of the Pope, which is against the power and primacy of the Pope. That's an appendix to Small Called Articles. And then there's a couple of documents that make up the formula of Concord. And you put that all together, and you got the Book of Concord. So that's where to start with Luther. And in fact, that's where I would start reading Lutheran theology. I would get a copy of the Book of Concord. It's a standard text and should be, it's a good one to have on the shelf. The second tier of Luther's works would be those works that are approved of in the Book of Concord. And if you search Luther, Book of Concord, Wolfmuller, or go to the blog, wolfmuller.co, and search for Luther, Book of Concord, I put together back at when I was on Vicarage a list of the works of Luther that are approved in the Book of Concord. And I thought I had published that somewhere online, and I went looking for it and couldn't find it. So just posted it up there a few weeks ago. And this gives you a really good idea about what the early Lutherans thought were the most important things Luther had written. So that's also really helpful. I have started trying to put together a collection of Everyone's Luther, which is small editions of Luther's works, some of his most famous works. So his prefaces to the books of the Bible, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved, Against the War Against the Turk, first four chapters of the Genesis commentary, On the Bondage of the Will, and a couple of others, On the Freedom of the Christian, On the Councils and Churches. Those are all really good works to read from Luther. And you can buy those for like $5 or $6. I just had to change the prices on Lulu. You can buy them for $5 or $6 on the website or download them for free. I found the works that are in the public domain and just sort of reformatted them to make them look a little nicer, easier to consume. And so if money's an issue, then you can download those for free. Or if it's not, you can buy them for a few bucks, not too expensive. That would be the sort of third level of Luther's works. But if you just wanted to know what to read next, the Large Catechism is it. It's fantastic. And that's a beautiful text to read a couple of times to go through it. And to look at what Luther is doing there with the Word of God and how he's bringing it to bear on the people there, the Christians there. One of the nice things about the catechisms is that it's not as polemical, so it's not addressed to the Catholic or Anabaptist opponents, theological opponents, but rather addressed to the Christians there. So that makes it a really helpful and encouraging text. Thanks, Don, for the question. Keep in touch. Let me know if I can do anything else to help you out. And I'd go plunder your pastor's library, too, and get some books from him to read. Thanks, as always, for being part of the fun. Your comments and questions are very welcome at wolfmuller.co contact. Or also, if you go to the podcast homepage, you can leave a message there, which is the coolest thing to do. Sign up for Wednesday Whatnot. We try to give away a book once a month when I remember. But I remember this month, so that's good. Remind me if I forget. Thanks again for all the questions, for the fun. Hopefully the Lord continues to bless and keep you in the richness of his word, in the kindness of his mercy, in the confidence of his promises. God's peace be with you.